Like most Americans, Jimmy Kimmel is having a hell of a time watching Donald Trump's Trump Media stock continue to hit rock bottom and then somehow break through rock bottom to hit an even new rock bottom. So during a monologue this week, Jimmy Kimmel warned both Don Jr. and Eric Trump that, quote, "Daddy is running out of money." But then Kimmel warned the people investing in Truth Social. He said this. He said, "If you bought Trump stock 2 weeks ago, and shame on you if you did, you lost half your money. But if you hold on just a little bit longer, you might be able to lose all of it." And here's the thing. Before I get to Trump's response, where he just goes absolutely ballistic on Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel is not wrong. The stock has now lost more than half of its value. So if you were one of those early investors and you're still holding on to it, you've lost more than half of your money. Okay, it's gone and it's not coming back. Even after the company announced, hey, we're going to do a streaming service in the future, shares went down even further. Typically, an announcement like that, like, hey, we're expanding the business, would cause the stock to go up, but it had the opposite effect. So things are going really bad, and they're going to continue to get worse. So again, Kimmel's critique is 100% correct. Nevertheless, Donald Trump was furious about this, so he gets on Truth Social and fires off a couple of posts attacking Jimmy Kimmel. The first one is this. "Stupid Jimmy Kimmel, who still hasn't recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host of the Academy Awards, especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, to the entire world by reading on air my truth about how bad a job he was doing that night right before he stumbled through announcing the biggest award of all, Picture of the Year." There is more, and I will get to it in a second, but let's talk. The biggest ratings drop, Trump said. Did you know that this year's Oscars, this year's Academy Awards, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, highest ratings they've had in 4 years? Nearly 20 million people tuned in to watch that broadcast. So Trump is absolutely way off the mark if he thinks that, oh, they suffered a ratings drop. No, they didn't. Biggest ratings in several years. Not to mention the fact that, oh, you read my truth. He mocked you in front of the entire country and everybody laughed. Everybody. It was hilarious. And then Trump continued. "It was a classic choke. One of the biggest ever in show business, and to top it off, he forgot to say the famous and mandatory line, and the winner is. Instead, he stammered around as he opened the envelope. Supposedly his wife and even management begged him not to do it. Don't read his truth, Jimmy. Please don't do this, they said. He was made to look like a fool, which he is, and at the same time go down in television history as the worst host ever of the once vaunted Academy Awards." He definitely has not gone down as the worst host ever, which is evidenced by the fact that they keep asking him to do it, right? Like, if he was bad, if they were losing ratings off of him, they wouldn't be bringing him back every year. And no, Donald, the only person made to look like a fool that evening was you. Everybody laughed at you. The entire country, possibly most of the world, was laughing at you, and that's what's angering you. That's why you're still going after Jimmy Kimmel. And here's the other part of this. If you don't want to be attacked by comedians, if you don't want to be made fun of on SNL, which you've also ranted about, get out of public life. Like, that comes with the territory. Powerful people get mocked by comedians. That's funny to us. We like to see people in power get made fun of and brought down to our level. And if you can't take that, then either grow thicker skin or disappear from the public eye forever. Those are your only two options, so you need to pick one. Things are going from bad to worse for MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. Not only did he get smacked down by the Supreme Court this week when they said we're not going to save you from having your data and cell phones seized by the FBI, but he also now has been hit with a complaint from Smartmatic, one of the companies that, of course, is suing him for defamation. But in a 5-page motion filed in court this week, Smartmatic said that, hey, Mike Lindell owes us money, according to the court. You ruled on that back in 2022. Here we are in 2024. he hasn't paid us. And to be honest, Smartmatic says, we don't think he can. Therefore, we are requesting a status hearing to find out what Mike Lindell's financial status really is so that we can, one, determine whether or not he's even able to pay us the fines he already owes us, and two, to determine whether or not he can even pay if he loses the defamation lawsuit we have against him. Here's what happened. When Smartmatic filed the lawsuit against Mike Lindell several years ago, because this thing has been out there forever, Mike Lindell then filed a countersuit against them, arguing that both Smartmatic and Dominion were involved in some kind of grand conspiracy to steal the 2020 election. The judge immediately threw out his counter lawsuit and said, you have to pay the legal fees of these companies for having to respond to your idiotic lawsuit. So that was 2 years ago, and that payment has not been made. And here's what Smartmatic said in their filing this week. Lindell and Mike Lampilla, and MyPillow, the company, are millions of dollars in arrears to their former legal representatives, which raises concerns about their ability to fulfill financial obligations. Given the recent representations about their financial condition, including the need to hire new counsel, Smartmatic is concerned about its ability to collect the fees and costs incurred. So they want to hold this status conference, as it's called, so that they can determine whether or not Mike Lindell is just refusing to pay, or if Mike Lindell is actually unable to pay. And if he is unable to pay, then that is going to open up a world of hurt for Mike Lindell. Once you are ordered by a court to pay a certain amount of money to a certain party, you cannot get out of it. You know, unless, of course, it gets appealed and the appeals court says, no, you don't have to pay it. But that didn't happen. So there's nothing Mike Lindell can do to get out of paying this money to these people, and he's going to have to pay them more money in the future once we get to that trial, which for some reason is still not taking place until January of 2025. That's insane. This trial should have taken place several years ago, but for some reason, it's still festering out there in the court system. That, to me, is an absolute abomination of justice in this country. This trial should have happened years ago. The lawsuit was filed years and years ago, and they still haven't even gone to trial. That's absurd. But they want to know what he has. And if he doesn't have the money, as I said, he still has to come up with a way to pay it. And at that point, think of Donald Trump and, you know, the possibility of seizing his assets from Letitia James, it would be the same kind of scenario here. He owes money. The company can't get the money because he doesn't have it in his account. That's what they're trying to determine. If he doesn't have it in his account, we're going to have to start seizing his assets. He's got a plane. He's got some mansions. We can take those. But I don't think that's what Smartmatic or any of these other companies have their eyes on, because they could probably take those assets to settle up what he currently owes them. But in those defamation lawsuits where Lindell is facing billions of dollars, so at best he's going to have to, or at worst, he's going to have to pay several $100 million. Okay. He doesn't have that in assets. He doesn't have that in cash, but he may have it in a little company he owns called MyPillow. And yeah, if it came down to it, these companies might be able to seize his company in order to settle his debts. So Lindell better hope that he actually has the money to pay these people, or this could be the beginning of the end of his pillow empire. Lauren Boebert's life is just filled with problems. And if she wasn't such a horrible person, it would be very easy to feel bad for her. But because she's a horrible human being, I have no sympathy for her at all with what's happening in her personal life, what's happening in her political life. But a new report based on the first quarter of fundraising for politicians that, of course, everybody had to submit, Lauren Boebert's doing really bad in her race for re-election. And as we all know, of course, Lauren Boebert is in a new district now. She's in a very tough primary race. They've already selected somebody to succeed Ken Buck. you know, as the guy on the ballot to finish off that term. That guy is also running in the primary, so he now has a leg up to win the primary and win the seat. So things are bad for Boebert. But according to her recent fundraising numbers, things are much worse than we had previously thought. Because ever since that groping incident late last September, Boebert's quarterly fundraising has fallen and fallen. Here's what happened. The first 3 months of this year, Lauren Boebert only raised $460,000. Prior to that, and the quarter before that, so October through December of last year, which happened right after the groping incident at Beetlejuice, she only raised, what was it, $540,000. So she's barely raised $1 million in 6 months. Now, that seems like a lot of money, right? You're just running for a little house seat. But again, you've got a tough primary. You got to spend a lot of money, not to mention the fact that that's about half of what you're used to. Typically, in any given quarter, based on her past fundraising, Lauren Boebert would raise between $800,000 and $1 million. So the fact that you've only raised $1 million in 6 months, whereas you used to raise about $1 million every 2 or 3 months, yeah, things are bad for her. But it goes beyond the cash on hand. Because I think a lot of people, when we talk about these fundraising numbers, they only look at it in terms of dollars and cents. Where it gets even worse is where the money's coming from. Because a lot of the money is not coming from Colorado. Some of the biggest donations, in fact, the biggest donations she got, which were still only like $3,000 or $4,000 a piece, she got a couple thousand dollars from George Santos before he was expelled. So, yeah, I mean, he can't vote for you. She's getting money from Arizona. She's getting money from Nevada. She's getting money from Florida. And all those people sending her money, they can't vote for her. So that money may help run a few more ads, even though it's so small she can't even afford an ad with it. But the people giving it to you are not the ones that are able to vote for you. That's why I really hate when people talk about, oh, this candidate's doing so well. Look, they raised like $10 million to take on Ted Cruz. Okay, but where's it coming from? It's coming from people who can't vote for that person. So let's chill out about that. But what this shows us is that, yeah, Lauren Boebert is still raising, you know, meager money, but enough to squeak by. But the fact that the money has dropped and a lot of it is coming from out of state shows us that the people in her district, the ones who can vote for her, don't want to give her money. And that's the biggest point. Once you distill it down and go through all these, you know, little rabbit holes, that's the main point. The people that can actually vote for her, the people that could support her, are not doing it. So not only is she suffering in the fundraising department, but that is also proof that people do not want to give her anything, and they're less likely to vote for her because of that. So that's the big takeaway from this. It's not just that she has so little money. It's that the people in her district don't trust her enough to give her anything. And that's what's going to hurt her in this upcoming election. Earlier this week, Alina Haba announced to the country that her job over the next 6 weeks or so, however long the New York trial lasts, her job is not to go and defend Donald Trump in court. Her job, she says, will be to defend Trump in the media and explain to us what's actually happening. So, well, according to her, what's actually happening. And she's had some doozies already, all of which have just been complete fabrications, like totally outside of reality. But she has gone on TV like pretty much every single day. And we're going to have to deal with that for 6 weeks, folks. It's the worst thing imaginable, but Alina Haba is not going anywhere. And in fact, we're going to have more Haba than we can deal with, which also means more lies than we can deal with. Because in addition to lying about the judge barring Trump from going to Barron's graduation and lying about what days off they would have and lying about what was happening during jury selection, Alina Haba has also come out with a new lie to help explain why Donald Trump just keeps falling asleep in court. says, we know he dozed off on Monday. He dozed off on Tuesday. So the guy's having trouble staying awake. And Alina Haba, during an interview with Newsmax, had a wonderful explanation as to why that guy just is so darn sleepy. Here's what she said. I wasn't there. I find that a remarkable story at best. President Trump, he reads a lot. He's been sitting there, as he's forced to do at the threat of going to jail if he's not sitting there for what I assume would be a very mundane day. Look, I wasn't there, so I can't comment on that. I find that to be a ridiculous thought, though. So, repeatedly saying, like, I wasn't there. I don't know if he was asleep. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But again, like, first of all, court is boring. Duh. Jury selection? Ugh. Who wants to do that? But the other part, he reads a lot. He reads a lot. Like, why is he sleeping in court? Well, he reads a lot. That's not related. Like, those aren't related items. It's like if I were to ask you, like, why do you have a coffee cup on your desk? You would respond like, oh, because I drink coffee. But Alina Haba would be like, why do you have coffee on your desk? She'd say, oh, because I had an orange for breakfast. What? Like, that? Those two things are not related. But that's what she's arguing here. Like, he reads a lot, and therefore he's just super sleepy. Like, that's not related. Unless he's up all night reading, which we know he's not, because Donald Trump doesn't read. He famously had to have his, you know, national security people cut his daily briefings down to one page filled with graphics. There's also reports that they had to pepper his name throughout their briefings with him, because if they didn't say his name, he wouldn't be able to follow along in the reading because he would just get bored, space out a little bit. In fact, one former Trump employee said, I call the president the two-minute man. The president has patience for a half page. That is what one Trump staffer told the Washington Post in 2017. So basically what they're all telling us is he doesn't read. He doesn't like to read. The only thing he does like to read is news articles about him. But that's not like reading, right? That's like reading the news is not the same as reading a novel. And Trump doesn't read books. He doesn't even write books. He has other people write them. He puts his name on them. So not only did Alina Haba make an argument that's not even connected to the issue at hand, but then she defended it with one of the biggest lies we've ever heard from her, which is, oh, Donald Trump reads a lot. No, he doesn't. But again, buckle up, folks, because we got six more weeks of Alina Haba lying to us every single day. Thanks for listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.